Love Talk Radio.
We are so excited to have each and every one of you to join us live on tonight with Dr. Holland Jones Gray in the live Love Talk Radio broadcast. Welcome to Sweep Your Brain, Sweep Your Mind. We're getting ready to get started right now, so we want to prepare you for Dr. Holland Jones Gray. Also, join her live on Periscope.
And we are having a discussion tonight, as well as on Blog Talk Radio. We're both live. And if you also want to get on, well, I guess if you're on Periscope, you won't need to get on Blog Talk Radio. So tonight is going to be like a very simple discussion. I've been thinking a very simple discussion. And I am going to start first, talk about Yom Kippur. For those of you that did not know about yesterday, was Yom Kippur, and we had a really nice experience yesterday. Yom Kippur is one of our biblical festivals. It's a gate that is open for us doing all of our biblical festivals. I would suggest that you will get the teaching that is called the understanding of Yom Kippur. Is that what's the name? The understanding of Yom Kippur. If you get that teaching, you get a full understanding of what that is. So yesterday was that. I don't know if one person won. Do you want to give your experience yesterday? Just very short experience on your service yesterday at Yom Kippur. Anybody want to volunteer of their experience? Everybody should act like they're shy. No? Yes. Okay.
I'm good.
Well, one of the things I would like to say about Yom Kippur is that it doesn't matter how many times you participate in Yom Kippur service. Each time, it's like it's your first time. It doesn't matter how many times we say the Avinu Melkeinu, which is our Father and our King. It is a repentance prayer. It moves me every single time we hear it. And not only am I moved by that, but what's incredibly remarkable to me is that we recite the same prayers year after year, but you still feel the weight of the fullness of those repentance prayers like they're brand new. And so that was something that I enjoyed. We did a lot of things that was different, that was new, but that's the thing that's most phenomenal to me is the Avinu Melkeinu prayer, where we not only repent for ourselves, we repent for the people who are sitting next to us, we repent for our nation, we repent for everything you can possibly think of. And I'm very grateful for that particular prayer.
Great. And for those of you who just joined us, I want you to share. Please share. And don't forget to give me your hearts. Now, I keep tapping because I love the hearts. I love to see my picture and then the heart just flowing. I just love that. That just looks so good on me. So, and next week is another festival, because this whole month is our Jewish biblical festival, and next week is the Sukkot. Sukkot is actually the season where Yeshua was birthed, Jesus. So, yeah. I really didn't want to go through that discussion. We have a teaching that you could get an understanding of Sukkot, but Yeshua was not born in Christmas, in December. I know a lot of believers are now using that as saying, well, I'm just going to celebrate because that's when Jesus was born. But, you know, I always tell people, would you want somebody to celebrate your birthday on somebody else's birthday? This is our Lord, our Savior, our Creator. I think he's worthy to find out exactly the season that he was born and then kind of celebrate it the way he said to celebrate it. But not pick somebody else's, because Christmas is somebody else's birthday. It's really not his. And I don't. I think we should bring enough honor to God to come on, keep tapping. I want to see the heart. I want to see the different colors. Yeah, that just becomes me. That we honor him by celebrating on the day, on the season, not the day, the season he was born, because, you know, it's not the day. It's about the season. So it's really a long discussion about that. But if you want to know more about that, I probably would do a Periscope on that day to give people a full understanding of it. But tonight, that's not what we're going to talk about. Tonight is an open table. It's an open table that we're all going to just discuss. As a matter of fact, it's a subject, a question that I wanted to ask the student, and I want us to truly discuss it. Johnny, get closer so I can see you. And I want everybody to see you when you start speaking. As students, as I want to just discuss and put things on the table tonight, and I want you all to be honest. Not that you will not be, but I want you to be free. Forget about millions of people that may be watching all over the world and listening to you. But it may, I believe the reason is in my heart is because it may help somebody else that's probably in the same situation. I want to know, even as believers, student of the true Rabbi Yeshua, student of the Word. I'm sorry, that's Keturah just making herself made known unto everybody. Give her a toy or something from me. Thank you. All righty. I want to know, I want us to discuss, what is it that's causing us to be in the best place where Elohim will have you to be, and you're still not maximizing what he has given you to grow, to become better people? I'm trying to hit it, but not so much hit it. But what is it that caused you not to be where you're supposed to be in life? What is stopping you from being a better believer, a better sister, a better brother, a better husband, a better wife, just a better person? What is it? What is the barrier that's keeping you from succeeding in life? I'm not talking about your business. I'm talking about just being succeeding in everything that you do in life. Who wants to go first?
We've got an empty chair over there.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let me start with saying this. One of the things, and it's not a struggle, it's a challenge. One of the things that I find to be challenging is I'm not just applying those principles to being a better sister, to being a better mother, to being a better daughter, to being a better spiritual daughter. I'm having to apply that same thing all across the board. And when I get to that place where, okay, I'm doing A or I'm doing B, now I have to transition to C. One of the things that I've learned is that, honestly speaking, there are some areas where I probably should put the same maximum amount of force into fixing or correcting something in my life. But it depends on which situation I'm in. I feel like, okay, A is 80% wrong, B is 40% wrong, and C is 90% wrong. So in my mind, psychologically, I'm thinking, let me work on B because B is 40%. B is the worst. Not realizing that as tenacious as I am about correcting B, which is 40% in the negative, I should still be working on A and C, which is 80-90%. So that's one of the things that I have to remember. It's not just an issue about being, for me, it's not just being a better sister. Because you think, I think, okay, half sister, half mother, half friend, half daughter. Every time I change hats, I'm having to remember that same struggle that I have with my sister may not be as severe as it is with my friend. So I might not apply that level of correction with my friend because we have an 80, but me and my sister is at a negative 40. And I'll say that's a struggle for me to keep that on the forefront. It doesn't matter if it's a 10, 20, 30, 40, or a 90. I need to continue to apply the same level of tenacity of correction, no matter where I feel the level of the relationship might be. And I would like to say that I think that for me, that might be a struggle for why I feel like sometimes I'm not maximizing in certain areas. Because I think I'm doing okay over here, but over there I'm really failing. But if you add the two together, you still have a bad grade.
Okay. Anybody else? Well, here's the thing that I have. Everything that you said, everybody would agree, right? This is everybody understand what they need to do, right? But can we be real? We all know what we need to do, but you're not doing it. That's where I am. What you said is perfect. We all need to know what, but I guess it makes your case real bad. Because we can't jump on ignorance because we know. So we know what we need to do, but why are you still here? Why are you still in the same space? Why you have not moved to a different realm? If you know all that you need to do, I want to deal with that. What is it that's not making you do that? You want to say something? Pass the mic to Mr. Johnny. You did.
Well, after you said what you said, I took my answer back. But let me say, for me, part of my problem is I'm lazy, comfortable, full of residue, and feel like a stuck. And let me explain that. I'm lazy because, that's what I'm dealing with. I look at the object in front of me, the obstacle in front of me, and I'm like, oh, you may have to get through all of this. Full of residue because I've lived like this so long. It's almost like, how am I going to find time? And it's so imperative. How can I find time to bring alignment to this great big creature that I call myself that is really not me? So now I'm trying to battle this 41-year giant that I have lived with and trying to correct all of those things that are not right. And all of the thing is for me, out of the teaching I have the tools, but it seems like I'm having a problem working through all the residue. It's like being organized, like, oh my God, this, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So that's my dilemma.
Well, you have here, let me deal with that first. I'm gonna let you go, sir. Now, I want y'all to speak like you're talking to yourself, because there's a difference when you're speaking to other. You're telling people how you feel, what you think is wrong, and how to fix it. But when you're by yourself, do you actually say that to yourself? And when you do say that, how do you answer yourself? What is the answer you give yourself? Because we all seem to know. We all seem to be smart enough to know what's wrong with me, what I need to do to fix it. But I'm still at, what is it that's keeping you from making the first step in fixing it? Because nobody can't fix it but you. Why would God give you the best? Because I believe God has given all of you the best. Why would he give you the best and you still not where you're supposed to be? You still not using what he's giving you to use. But I want to go beyond all the, I know this is what's wrong with me. We have perfected our confession. We have perfected, this is what I know that's wrong with me. We have perfected, this is all I believe this is what I need to do. But we have not perfected the implement. We have not perfected the fact is, what is it from the time that I recognize what I have become, as you said, from the time of what I need to do, but I'm still not who I'm supposed to be? What else can God give you? What else do you need? Like you just said, there's a lot of people I'm sure could relate to that. You said, I'm lazy. Okay. Well, some people will admit it. Some people don't. Okay, what are you going to, once you told yourself that, what else, how can you be comfortable knowing that about you and still be the same? I'm saying that because I'm thinking about me. When I admit something to whether my teacher, my mentor is talking to me, he said, well, you this and you that. And I say, you know what? You're right. Once I recognize and admit that, I can't sleep with it anymore. I cannot do myself and find any excuses to still be the same person. I have to find myself every day working on what I have just admitted that I recognize about me. And I'm asking all of you, what is it that's keeping you from making that last step in implementing every day and recognize, oh, I'm lazy, I'm this, I'm that. How can you still sleep with it? How can you still sleep? I want to say, what can you still sleep with lazy? You wanted to answer that first?
Well, one of the things that's a big, it's like mind-boggling for me. It seems like to me that I know it and I recognize it, as you did say, but it's almost like as well, it's to me, and this may not be the perfect answer, but this is what I say to myself all the time. When you get through with everyday life and you're supposed to actually pay attention to yourself, it seems like so many things and so, you know, working at 9 to 5 and different things, it takes so much from you. It's like, where do I find time? Help me to find time to work on this practice field. That's one of my big things.
Where do you find time to do what?
To practice, you know, because working a regular 9 to 5 and then maybe other things that people do, and after you lift your head up, the day is gone. It's like work, the life takes so much from you. It's like, oh my God, where do I practice? Where do I put this to practice? You know, and it seems like even in everyday life, it's still not enough time.
Okay, I'm
so it's been heating up, and I'm like, I have all this residue and I feel this monkey on my back, but before I can live the house, I did this to take photos. So I did this to try to make deals, do this, keep moving, keep shaking. And then, I mean, it just seems like it's just an endless cycle.
Okay. Let me deal with that first before you do that, sir. Can you still hear me on the radio, Bob? Okay. I'm glad you asked that question. And it's, when you ask that, I'm saying to myself, what does it mean? Where do you practice? What does it talk? And my whole head started spinning. What do you mean by that? But I'm glad you said that, because it could be a question that you needed an answer to, and somebody out there may need to answer the same question. Do you all actually think that you need time to implement what you need implement? Every day in your life, in every second, every conversation, every situation on your job, while you're working, you're interacting with your employer, with the employees, the customers, when you go to lunch in traffic, all of that is time to practice. You have an anger issue. If you have an anger issue, you can work on that at traffic. You can work on that at work. And you can work on that as soon as you get home. Every second of your life is a time you don't, and I think maybe that has been the problem, because you think after I'm finished, because here you go. It's the same concept of putting God like they do with Christmas. Little Jesus was born under a tree, and we come to him and we pray and we leave. That's the same mindset and the concept you're talking about. Like, you got to wait till you finish your life, your work, then now, okay, God, what you want me to do?
Yeah.
That's the concept you sound like. And a lot of people are doing the same thing. You're not the only one. And that's the reason why people find it. I'm so sorry, because this seems like they're slipping. Give me a second. I'm gonna make sure this is correct. Okay. Y'all can see me. If you could see me now, send me a message. Let me know everything is okay, please. Okay. All right. How do you recognize distraction before they have a chance to derail progress? Oh, very good question. Because you know why? It comes as a seed. Let me use me as an example. As students, I give you enough teaching, for you to recognize distraction. If you are on in the middle of a project or in the middle of doing something, it's not that hard to recognize this is a distraction. It's not that hard. No, let me. I really want you to talk to me. I want you to be honest with me. Be straight up honest with me. It's not that hard to recognize, let's say, I had to do the same thing. If I'm getting dressed to go somewhere and a phone call came and I see myself on the phone and I have to stop and say, wait, this is going to make me late if I speak to you right now. So that means I need to speak to you later. Can I text you saying, can I call you in the car? Can I talk to you when I arrive? Can I talk to you when I finish getting dressed? Because you are a distraction from me being on time to where I'm going. I'm using that as an example. You have to recognize the things that's coming into your life that's stopping you or that put you on a put your brakes on from doing what you was doing. That's a distraction. Anything that talking you out of from being where you are, doing what you're supposed to do, is a distraction. And the distraction does not have to be, and that's another thing, distraction is not a demon. A distraction is not a walk from hell. A distraction could be something normal like your children, your parents, your whatever that is. It could be a normal thing in life, but it's just putting it in the right place for the right time. Yeah, baby, I need to go ahead and talk to you. My daughter and my son may be calling me, but right now I'm doing something. You have to wait. I'll call you back. If it's not an emergency, we could talk later. You're not going to stop me from doing what I'm doing because you need me. So a distraction, they have to be demon. But now I'm answering a question on scope. Now, even going back to you, that you don't need time to implement what your time is. I don't even know how to put that into words. Every single second in your life is a time to practice what you've been taught, practice to have a better character. Let me use an example. Something I got upset about today. But I know now, I said, you know, especially in the new year, I'm going to have a better attitude and I'm not going to hold my anger too long. And the thing got me angry. Right there and then, that was my time to practice to let it go. Every time someone got me mad is my practice to let it go. You understand? Yes.
I think what you're saying. I think also myself, I am practicing. I just realized that I am practicing, but sometimes I get practice confused with also doing. I think I get practice.
Tell me what that means. What do you mean you get practice in doing? Because that's what practicing, you are doing something. Let's think about, because you do theater, right? When you practice a show or a play, are you not doing something?
Absolutely. So my thing is, I am practicing, but I may be practicing like 10%. 90% of everything else is just sitting there looking at me like, you don't even listen.
Then you're going to sound like Angela there.
I realize that I've been practicing on the most obvious things, how I react to others. So that's why I've been stuck at. But this field is practices such as, do you see this on the floor picking up?
That's what I'm talking about.
You see this in here going to it.
That's what I'm talking about.
You can learn how to say no, because you know how you have to do this. You have all this talent on you because you haven't finished your first one. So that's where I think I need to pay more attention to everything. I probably need to write a new journal.
Okay. Deacon, go ahead. But Deacon, Clarence wanted to say something.
Okay. Since we are, let me just say that. For example, I know I need to schedule, but I like to write things down, and I like to journal, but I know I need to keep a better schedule. So in every area of my life, I need to learn to be on time. But the truth is, when I really look at it, you know, I might actually be considering, ooh, I'm going to be on time for it. But inwardly, I'm thinking to myself, okay, every day you need to be on time. You need to be on time. You need to practice keeping on schedule. You need, this is something I need to practice every day. And the truth is, somewhere inside of me, there is a communicational breakdown because I am focusing so much on being on time, being on time, being on time. But if that's the one key thing that I'm focusing on being on time about, everything else is falling to the wayside. The other 80% that I'm getting jacked up. But my thought is, be on time, be on time. But at the same time, I'm so focused on trying to fix that 40 that's wrong with me, I'm not denying the 80 or the 90. But inwardly, I'm thinking, okay, well, that's better than this. So let me work on the worst thing that's wrong with me right now. Whereas if I have not developed the mindset how to work on a whole lot of things that are wrong with me all at the same time. What is it, the lesser of two evils? Is that 40%? If I got 80-90% of this over here, okay, let's just deal with this one thing that's real jacked up that's in my face. And perhaps, let's just be real, I might just be selecting what's jacked up about me that I want to work on first.
Okay. I can deal with that.
I'm going to repeat that in a moment.
Okay. All right, sir.
Well, one of the problems is, and Dick and John touched on that, it's we are so caught up into the care of this world that it takes away from us the things of God, and we shouldn't be that way. When I get busy, I find myself seeing the things that I'm doing that is not right, but because of not wanting to discipline the flesh, not wanting to bring the flesh into subjection to the worry, we choose to take the easy route out. Then I choose to take the easy route out, and then be bothered with and bogged down with, oh Lord, no, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have did this. Lord, forgive me. And then I would say we find ourselves making excuses for grace. You know, well, God's on my heart, and God is going to forgive me, you know. And we should practice doing the right thing all day long. It should become a living part of our life just as we breathe, to do right, to just be a part of what we do. But it's because of the laziness of us. It's because of, I would think, a lack of fear. The total reverence fear of Adonai, the reverence fear of God exists. So, Father, I want to follow you. I want to be well pleasing to you. You know, a good child, they don't fear the bad because they're scared of him, but they fear the bad because I love him. And I think because we can't see God, we don't fear God like that. But it's a lack of fearing him for the love of what he does for us. And so therefore we don't line up fully with what he is calling us to do.
Let's deal with something I hear on a repeated basis that I said it ain't that bad. Because I've been told by my mentor that I was mean. And I said, I am not that mean.
That's
third. Yeah, you got to finish the whole mean and saying.
Well, my mentor don't say that a lot. She don't say, my mentor don't say a lot that I'm mean and third.
I'm sorry, we got cut off and I had to come back on again. We apologize.
Well, let's just start with that one. And the statement is that you're mean. And I'm thinking, I am not that mean. But here's the thing. I keep measuring my meanness. There is no measurement to your meanness. You are either mean or you're not. There is no in between. So in those places and in those areas where I can't pick and choose okay, let me deal with meanness over here, but I'm not going to deal with meanness over there. Well, the truth is that has to be a heart issue. And with that being the case, I just have to embrace that, okay, fine, I am mean. Even if I'm thinking and selecting who I'm mean to, even if I think the first thing I need to get rid of is measuring my level of meanness, which is, well, I might be mean only 3% of the time. Well, the truth is I'm deceiving myself because my mentor never said how mean I was. My mentor just said I was mean and surly. So instead of me embracing that and not focusing on, okay, I'm only mean 10% of the time, but you're 9% of the time. I think I'm pretty sweet. I'm sweet to myself.
Are you saying this is what you told yourself?
I'm dealing with this right now, so it's live.
Oh. but I'm glad you said that because I want to tell y'all something. Deceiving ourselves is not wise. Why would you, you were told that you were mean and surly, right? Why would you want to get into a place and say, well, I'm not that mean, but I'm 80%, 30%, if you're 1%. If you're 0.5%, it's a seed.
It's a little
lemon. Exactly. So to tell ourselves that I'm only this amount of percent and I'm all right, I'm not that bad, it's going to cause us not to grow. Because why? This was a discussion. I want to tell y'all something. There was a discussion I was having with a friend earlier. And we were saying that, the enemy is mad at us because we took his job. And as he was talking, here's the scripture that came and said, the enemy is on the employment line because we took his job. We're doing the best job in destroying ourselves that he doesn't have to work. And the scripture that came to me is that, remember the time when God was telling the devil, come on, what you doing? He's like, nothing. I had nothing to do. I was going up to and fro. I had nothing to do. So God took the word Job and gave him a job. He gave him Job a job to do because he didn't have no work to do. And that's why I want you to take a good look at your life and notice that the enemy is out of work because you're doing the best job in destroying you.
Yeah.
You're your own stumbling block.
Amen.
You don't have to do nothing. We could blame him.
Yeah.
He'll take the credit, but you know, you actually doing the work. And you're giving them the credit. Because what I want us to stop doing, and we do that, you know all this stuff wrong with you, you know, yeah, I'm this, yeah, I know what I need to do. What is it about you that you still the same tomorrow morning? Okay.
Well, I want to make this statement because I just realized the first scripture as we were sitting here talking was, it's a little leaven, you know, that leavens the whole lump. I have not until this moment while we're having this discussion, because this is not a personal conversation I had with myself, up until this moment, I just realized I was measuring my leaven. Why am I even measuring my leaven? Up until this very moment, I had not realized, oh my goodness, I've been measuring my leaven. And he didn't say how much it was. He said it was a little bit. So why do I keep trying to determine whether a little bit is a peach, a little bit is an inch, a little bit is a cup, or a little bit is a half a gallon? The bottom line for me is it exists. Nothing else should matter beyond that.
That's right.
And until this moment, it didn't. Because I was measuring my holiness. I was qualifying myself. Instead of putting me all of me on the scale to be measured, I was not doing that. I was putting it one.
Gloria, you want to say something? Gloria, you want to say something? Gloria,
I was going to measure her holiness.
Okay, Gloria, you wanted to say something?
Never funny.
Why are you moving out the way? Okay. I'm going to show you pictures. Go ahead.
I think in answer to that question, I'm not working on myself 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I work on me for a few minutes, and I get hired.
And I say, oh, this is too much work. I'm working on me. I'm dealing with people around me. And it's a lot of work.
What's a lot of work? Put your purse down for me, babe, because I can't see her. Okay. What's a lot of work?
Working on me, who this person I'm supposed to be, getting right, communicating.
What does that mean? This is where I am. We're using a lot of words. What does that mean?
Okay.
Well, because everything y'all saying, honestly, you don't even understand fully what you're saying. What does, I'm talking about all of you. What does it mean? Give yourself a simple answer.
Well, what does it mean? When I say I'm not working on me, okay, it means that when I get into argument with Johnny, instead of me looking at me, I look at Johnny.
Uh-huh.
And I say, no, we have this problem with you. Instead
yes.
of saying, we have this problem because of me.
Yes.
For example, in my house, when we deal with everyone, I found out that I see some things in all three of my roommates that I hated. And I said, I'm not like that. And I said,
I was going to use that for Saturday. Go ahead.
Oh. but I said, you know, I'm not like that. Mm-mm. No, I don't want to be like that. Mm-mm. No. So it caused me to retaliate against them. In the process of me retaliating against them, I became a little bit of each one of them. And I kept it to myself. When I seen it in me, I was like, I don't care
what that. So what does that make you realize? What did you learn from that?
What I learned from that was to point my finger at them, to point my finger at me, not to look at them and not to say, I want to be like you, but to look at them and say, I'm looking at me. When I'm looking at them and I see the things that they do and their actions, I'm really looking at myself. So that's why I say.
But how does that make you feel? I mean, I'm looking for that answer. Because you all are just so smart and so intelligent that you are coming up with answers, but you're not marrying the answer with you walking and living it and implementing it.
Well, he's making a decision. That's what it is. Once I make that decision, it really didn't come home to me until I realized. I said, "Oh my God. I am an ancestor," which means I have 3 kids under me and 9 grandkids. And I said, wait a minute, something's wrong with this picture. I'm going through all these changes, but I'm an ancestor. And I said, if I'm an ancestor, then things have to change. I have to change my thinking, my thoughts, my ways.
I believe what you're trying to say, that you're leaving a legacy.
Okay.
Is that what you're trying to say? You are leaving a legacy.
But what I'm saying is, yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You are leaving a legacy for your children and your grandchildren. It's okay.
That's right.
Yeah, I understand.
That's what I mean.
Yes. Right. And then and I guess it finally hit you, what kind of legacy are you leaving?
That's right.
Yeah.
And I made up in my mind, I said, okay, it's time for a change. Me not working on me was not going to work. I needed to get myself together so that when they come along and they start learning about their grandmother, they can walk in the Word and walk by the Torah and live a righteous life, not untrained.
Great, good, good. Anybody else before I? Okay. Now, see, what you said, and y'all just go ahead and keep sharing. So I want you to share this because I believe this is going to help somebody and keep hitting those hearts. I can tell you the heart looks real good next to my face. But here's where I am in we're still on the blog? Okay. Here's where I am that I don't know if you all were hearing me. You all have become, and I'm not saying I mean a lot of believers in the same area, expert in how to answer the questions, expert in what's wrong with me, expert in what I need to do. I need to zero that in what's keeping you from making that change. Because y'all go through, listen, people go through church, they fall out, they spit, they get delivered, they're all greasy. Somehow, oh, I had a good time in church, and then tomorrow you're still the same. What is that? That's what I'm talking about. What is that? If you come to a revelation of time and you recognize, I shouldn't be like that. Like you just said, you realize. You realize that what you've been doing, you're measuring your leaven. You're measuring the fact that I mean. Okay, what are you going to do about it? How is that going to change tomorrow? When I said tomorrow, because the Bible said that, you've got to have to give yourself permission to change. And it starts right there and then. And I want to know what is going to be the difference. When are you going to see the difference in you? Unless you are comfortable where you are. If you are, then we should have a different conversation. You are? Okay.
That's what I'm going to say. To be truthful.
Then give you 2 minutes. Say something. Put the camera on.
To be truthful, I believe that the truth is when you really deal with your intent and the truth about it. We are still junkies. We are still hearing the word, speaking of myself, hearing the word, just amazed with the revelation, still no true change in the truth. And this kind of hurts. This really hurts. You realize that you don't really want it as much as you think you do.
Oh, I have an answer for that. Oh, God, I'm glad you said that. That came to me during meditation time today. Do you realize that a lot of you are living enough, just enough to survive? Do you know, you realize that? Let's, for instance, you know how you do, you work enough to make, just to pay your bills? You make enough money to pay my rent? And you calculate, well, this is enough to pay my light bill, this is enough. And you're that's why you're always broke? Take a good, okay, let me fix this. I need to fix this. I feel. You notice that you're always broke? You know why? Because you have a job that gives you a paycheck just enough to pay your bills. You don't have a job where you have enough money to do anything else but to pay your bills. That's the same way your life is. You only live enough to survive. You only do enough to survive. You only do enough to be part of, how would I say that, the body of believers. I'm going to do enough to still say I'm saved. That's why some of us want to know, is this right? Is this not right? Is this a sin? Is it not a sin? Sometimes it's not. You don't do something. It's not because it's not. It's no longer a sin, but something is just because you love God or you want a better life for yourself. But we want to know, is this okay for me to do? So I only want to do enough for me to say I'm still a member of the body. So I'm doing enough to say I'm still saved. Let's say if I give you a project, you only do enough to say, well, I'm doing all I can. I'm doing the best I can. If you're doing the best, why is it not enough? You see, you have to remember that statement. You're doing the best you can, but the best is still not enough. That's mean you're doing enough to make yourself satisfied, but you're not coming up to the standard of the project. And then you tell yourself, I'm working hard. No, okay, that's a good one. Yes, sir.
Could this particular process get us tired if we continue to do just enough to get by?
Oh, I'm so glad you said that.
And shit is left undone and you still got to do it again?
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that because that's where excellent is. When we're not excellent, we only do enough, and when you bring the project, it's not enough. You have to go back and redo it again. You get mad. It don't make no sense. Why do I have to? Because the first time you didn't do it right, you only did enough to say, I did it. But you didn't do enough for the project to be completed and to be excellent.
You, listening to the two of you, one of the things that I just realized is that, you know, there are some things that I don't practice mastering. I might, and that's how I find myself doing just enough. Because I've learned two things can happen. Either I'm going to get frustrated into doing something exceptionally well, but what I realize is that that cycle is not reproduced unless I'm continually frustrated into doing that. So until my heart changes, say, you know what, I just want to wake up and master this thing today and get off of that little wheel that I've been running around in a circle on, saying, you know what, I get past the place of where I'm tired of being frustrated into getting something correct. But the truth is, if my mindset was focused on, you need to master this thing. In everything that I do, I need to master that. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing or it's a wrong thing that I'm trying to master. For example, I might wake up and I have a list of five things that I know I need to work on my character today. That day, I should wake up in the morning with that list of five things and say, I am going to master accomplishing each of these things today. So, and that's something I just realized. But wait a minute. Because sometimes my mentor will let me know, okay, well, you did this thing. This one thing right here, you did this really good. But there were other four things you did that was jacked up, and I don't know what you were thinking. That's because one out of five, I was frustrated to push past what would have been acceptable for me, but I pressed past what I thought I needed to be above and beyond what the CEO would find acceptable. But see, I only did it in one out of five. The other four, I stopped working on those. Why? Because I was doing it in the wrong spirit with the wrong attitude. So I pushed past that. But the truth is, if I focus on mastering those five things pertaining to my character, that will cause me to excel in every area and relationship of my life. Business, personal, professional, sister, mother, daughter, all of those. If I focus on mastering on those five things that I know will take me under if I take my eyes off of it. So just having this discussion is making me realize I need to make a list of a minimum of five things tonight that I know is a hindrance to myself and is self-inflicted.
Okay.
There's a problem somewhere because you have to not know how much you're worth. If you know your worth, why would you ever want to bring anything that's not complete, that's not together? And I look at my leader. I have to look because that my leader is a perfect example to me. How she dresses, how she keeps herself.
That will be me.
And I'm like, how she goes, oh boy, she's always. But you know what? It made me realize you don't know your worth. You don't know what you have on the inside.
That's right.
You don't know what gifts you hold.
That's right.
You are living like just like the prodigal son. You are wilding it. Do you know what the Creator has put inside you? And here we are.
That's right.
Not achieving the best and living, settling just for less.
As Deacon Clarence on the top, one of the reason that I look good, not only because I like to look good because I do, but also want to be an example in front of you, and this is the way you should be all the time. You should dress for success when you get up in the morning.
Yeah.
You should dress for success every day. When I say that, I don't mean you have to wear the best of everything that you have, but look decent. Look good. You understand? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That was me saying that. No, but it's important to look good at all times. While we gain apply, understand? That's right. Because I like to dress the image that God created me to. I want to dress myself. I want to dress my mind as well as my body. Yes, sir, you was going to say something.
Yeah.
That was, yes.
Yeah.
Come to class Saturday, I got so, more faith.
When it comes to doing that, God created us in his image. So if we don't look, again, what do we think our body looks like, you know? But again, I say coming to the, what do we what do we feel about God as far as the reverence to God? How do we reverence God? Know that fear of God. Know to want to do and want to live the life that He has called us to. But then the self, the person inside of the flesh, is what is controlling us. And I think that if we read the Word, if we stay in the Word, we meditate on the Word, then we feed our spiritual being, and that would help us to want to walk more. We would want to apply what we read, what we study, what we hear. We would want to apply it to our life, and that would cause us to walk in that realm where God wants us to be, to where we want to live with this heaven, and not be dissatisfied with where we are. So it's like people ask me, you know, why would I work so much? Well, because I'm not satisfied with the amount of money that I make. You know, and it takes more, so there needs to be a strategy to how can I maximize what I do to get more. Well, how can I maximize the life that God has given me, that God has given me to be a better Christian? What do I want to do to really live up to that standard? And I had a discussion today, and all because I let the flesh take over and let the flesh have its way. You know, and that flesh will cause me to walk in a lifestyle of disobedience and not live up to the mark.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as it was said in one of the verses, it's not wrong, but it's James, what is the matter of man that looks in the mirror and straight away he goes to get what he saw.
Exactly.
So, you know, if I don't hold up to it, then I'm that double-minded man that's not doing what I just read and said I would do.
That's right. That is correct. And what I want us to remember what we said earlier about that the enemy, yeah, you have a question, that he's mad because you took his job away. And I know a lot of time we think his job is to sing and worship, but we took his job away because we're destroying our own mind and we're not living to the fullness where God had created us. He don't have to block us because we block ourselves. He don't have to distract us because we distract our own self. For example, I'm like this. Okay, if I'm mentoring you and you're one of my students and you can't do the best that you should do in the project that I give you, you dare not to have your own project. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
You dare not, because if you didn't show integrity in what was given to you, how can you even dare work on what you have? Because what you gave me, you're going to reap it in your own gift and in your own business. And you're not going to succeed because I've given you the opportunity to practice integrity, to practice excellence, to practice passion, to practice all of that, right? So when you do operate on in your own business, in your own gift, all you're doing is changing positions. The same passion, the same love, the same integrity, the same enthusiasm is going to be in your own business. But if you're holding back on me and you don't want to give me all, because giving me all is me giving you the opportunity to practice. So when you get on your own to do your own business, your own gift, you're going to do it in excellence. But if you hold back, that's me. That part of you held back, never been put on the platform to practice. So, come on now. I really want us to really deal with that, because I see that a lot. If I give you a project, you just do another. Like, here you go, yes ma'am. Here you go, all right. But when it's something that happens for you, you want to give your all. And why? The reason you get frustrated doesn't work because you didn't put all your all on the project that was given to you.
Right.
It's the same thing you at work. How can you be the best business owner when you are not the best employee?
Right. That's good.
If you didn't put all your all in your job and learn how to get along with your coworkers, how to get along with your supervisor, really be on time, and doing all the work even when they're not looking, doing it, but just only doing enough when they're there so you can get paid, How are you going to move over from you and being an employee, and then when you get your own business, you actually think that's going to work out for you? You think, you know, the integrity, you don't think an employee is going to come and be late and take advantage of you because that's what you've done? It's the same thing. But a lot of times we do that. We sit at work till my child, I'm just waiting for my own business. I'm not going to be here alone. That's the same thing we do in ministry. My season's going to be over. And you, when you do that in your mindset, you're not giving your all. When you move over to your own, you're cheating yourself. You're going to be the same lazy bum that you were with me or you were on your job. We're just being real tonight. I told y'all that. We're going to put it on the table. The same unenthused. Remember, even I told you, I said, I'm never going to show you a picture. I said, you're not all in. In your own business, you won't be all in neither. But we think of it, it's the same thing being married. If you don't take care of yourself and you don't take care of your relationship with your parents or your sibling, when you get a husband or you get a wife, you are going to be the same selfish bum. I'm sorry, we on the air. Yeah. The same selfish, wonderful person that you are. You're not going to be able to serve him or her properly because you miss the practice of serving. But we think because, I won't say that I'm in the air, we'll wait till I get off the air and say that, but we think being married, you know, because of, you know, they say the sex is going to overlap your non-serving self. But it's not. Life is about practicing.
Yeah.
If you can't be the best personal assistant with me when you open up your business, it's going to fail. Mm. Do you all understand that? You have the opportunity to practice. Do not sit and wait for your season to be over. That means you're waiting for your season of learning, your season of practicing to be over, and then now you're ready to be on your own. But you just miss your season of learning, practicing, being corrected. So when you get out there, you're going to do it right. You miss that because you're not giving it all. And shame on you because your stuff won't work. I'm not putting like bad seed and bad word. It's already, you already did that on your own. That's what I'm saying. The devil don't have a job because you've done that. You're messing up your own future. You're messing up your own business because you never had anything that you stick to.
Yeah.
You're always quitting. You're always leaving. You always had enough. There's too much for me. I guarantee you the same thing you're going to do in your marriage, the same thing you are going to do in your own business, in any other relationship, you're going to keep quitting. Because if you can't make it with me, you will never make it in your own business, your own marriage, or anything else.
Yeah.
We just talk. We just put it on the table. We just got to be real. We got to stop perpetrating. You've got to stop perpetrating. Any place that God connected you to, he connected you there to practice. He connected you there to learn. He connected you wherever you're going. You're going to have to put the same love, integrity, excellence in here before the door of opportunity is open and you make a fool out yourself. Because you missed the platform of practicing and learning. You ever seen a commercial, if you make it in New York, you can make it everywhere? Well, if you could make it with me, you could make it anywhere.
Amen.
Because me personally, and even as a mentor, my standard of excellence, I refuse to bring it down. And because I refuse to bring it down, people walk away. When you walk away, you will not excel in whatever you do. And you're going to keep going around the mouth and trying to bite your own tail. It won't work. You can't handle pressure, but you want to be a millionaire. You want God to give you money, but you can't even handle pressure. You want your business to make $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4 million, but you can't even handle pressure. You can't even handle pressure. But you want God to give you a successful business? If you can't handle the pressure of a project, how are you going to handle the pressure of being wealthy?
Really? Yeah.
I mean, come on. Cause, you know, all y'all got quiet. No need to be quiet.
Welcome. You've tuned in to the Best Blog Talk Radio Show.
I am your perfect person. You keep running from me, you running from excellence. You running from better. You running from your destiny and your purpose. That's what you're running from. You want to understand? Say amen for sure. Yes, sir. You know, I think Francis has something to say first.
I think the glory is first.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You second then.
And then John.
I wanted to give an example of what you're saying. You were so great. Because it happened to me today. I was passing out my flyers. And I thought, I said, oh, my God. I said, I'm learning things about passing out these flyers that I could have learned if I hadn't just taken the time out to pay attention to passing out flyers to you. I said, oh, my God. I said, so this is what it feels like. Now, again, for the flyers, I'm making sure the flyers go to the ground. I'm making sure I put them in the right place. I mean, I am like, I'm like, far. I mean, where is the famous situation I'm passed on flyers in the industry? They could be better now. So exactly what you said is exactly the truth. It happened to me today.
Good. I'm so glad. Yes. Was it
you,
Johnny
next?
Or
Johnny next? I just want to pass. I forgot what I was saying. Come on, friend.
Oh. And you next, Monique?
Okay. I honestly lost my train of thought.
Really?
Honestly.
Yeah.
We'll come back to you. Go ahead, Monique. You were going to say, so we're going to come back to you. Please make sure you bring it up.
Well, yes, ma'am.
Move the cup on.
For me, I mean, basically everything you're saying is so true. Even having a business mindset, God's so good. You had just told me that about 2 weeks ago that I have to learn how to practice in front of you to go out and promote the business. And this is my practice ground. So for me to hear you repeat it all over again. I'm like, wow, in which I have been practicing. So I'd be able to speak and know the business. Not only that, I mean, it's just wow, just even knowing where you are and knowing that you have been in that place for so long. It's mind-boggling because of the simple fact that you have gave us teaching for us to recognize when the enemy is attacking, but when the enemy is not attacking and you yourself is the enemy, that's pretty tough because you are standing fighting with yourself, especially with your mind. My big thing was running when I think I'm in trouble. I wanted to run. But I am learning how to deal with that, meaning as in stand still, go ahead and answer your question or even your text, not to move, just be still. Because it's okay if I didn't do it right. This is my practice ground.
That's right. You ready now,
Freddy? One of the things that I want to say is, you know, a lot of times, just with me, I'll keep it all on me, forget that unconsciously that I am his daughter, God's daughter. And the Bible says, you know, now we all know that we're his sons. And it does not yet appear what we shall become. And if we follow his instruction, if I follow his instruction, you know, it seems hard or it seems like this is leading to nothing, you know,
But if I follow his instruction, I have no idea what I shall become just by following his instruction or the instruction of the leader that he has over me, you know. And so it's so easy to fear because of something that's unfamiliar to my own psyche. So it's so easy to fear because wanting to do what I want to do, you know, forgetting that I am representing him in everything that I do. And then what taught me that even more is just my relationship with my youngest daughter, looking at and wanting her to follow my instruction, whether she's in my view or not, you know. And I, like, you know, and I tell her, and it's just so many examples, you know, just telling her, look, if you do this, well, and not even if you do this, but do this, and do this to the T, and that's it. Because if I tell her in the end it's going to, you know, turn out to be this, well, I don't want her to do it because of the reward in the end. I want her to do it because I want her to learn just to follow the instruction that I give her. And I believe, and I know a lot of times with me, hearted, you know, and that's what happens. And that's what happens. And, you know, just to further go into what you were talking about, I think as a whole, what happens is we go into a denial stage when it comes to our leader. We go into this stage of denial just like Peter or Kepha, when he denied Yeshua three times. You know, they said, you look like him, you act like him, you know, you talk like him, but he kept saying no. You know, and that's what we veer off into. You know, we've got this training. We've got this teaching. We, you know, all of this. You got the mentorship. You know, you got the business tools. You got this, you got that. But yet, you're in this state of denial. How are we in this state of denial? Unconsciously, because we unconsciously say, I do not know the teaching by how we live our life, by how we implement the instruction that was given. Mm-hmm. And how do we not implement it? We just simply don't do it. We modify it to do it our way. We go halfway into what the instruction was. And then we say, I'm not hers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't belong to this teaching. I don't belong to this rabbi. You know, we go off into that unconsciously. But it's undeniable, because what happens is that aura is on you. When you go to talking, they know that you belong to this rabbi, you belong to that school of thought, and there is no denying that you belong to it, because the way I see you, I smell you, I know that rabbi. So if you have been here this long or just like that, you know, there is something about you that says you have a level of excellence. You have a level of expectation. There's a level of expectation that when we had all gone to that church to see the prophet, you know, there was a level of expectation for the intercessors to go and serve. There was a level that had it not gone the way it did, then they could be like, what? Not from that school of thought. Not from that rabbi. You know, that's, they must, no. So it's almost like what happens is, my aunt told me, she said, you know, the highest honor you can give your leader is to become your leader. And what I don't mean to, you know, kick her out if you stop being a grandma, Johnny, but
reproduce, to be the reproduced product of this rabbi.
That is correct.
To be the reproduced product of what happened in TFI. To be the reproduced product of Sweep Your Grave. To be the reproduced product of everything that has happened thus far.
Amen.
And so when there is no replication in the DNA, something has gone terribly wrong. And it's not coming from the progenitor, the creator. It's not coming from the rabbi. It's coming from an infection on the inside, and not an infection as far as the whole corporate body, but individual. It comes from individuals wanting to do what they want to do, wanting to be head honcho, wanting to be known for this, or wanting to be praised for that, wanting the platform, cleaning the toilet. We want those kind of things. Those are the kind of things that we want. And so this causes an infection. And I'm talking about me. This causes an infection. And so when the, and nobody ever looks, when there's an infection in any type of ministry, or no one ever looks at the followers. They always look at the leader. They always look at the leader. And so it's hard sometimes to get somebody to believe that something is healthy when we're also sick.
That's a good one. That was very good. And I appreciate that. Appreciate that honesty. And appreciate that. And all of us need to learn from all of the discussion that was put on the table. And to now, we need to, it's almost like we have to go journal this. Every word that was given, you're going to have to go think about it and give yourself an answer. Because why are we not further? Why are we not further? Why we're still not where we're supposed to be? So I believe the answers were given by all of us. A little piece of everybody gave an answer to it, and we're going to give an account to that. We're going to give it. And I'm the type of teacher, I don't like to just go over stuff. I want detail. How did you get here? Why are you here? And now how do you get out? Do you want to understand that? That's the type of teacher. And it is sad. And as you were talking, I was thinking about a lot of people that I'm supposed to have mentored that walked away because they could not handle the level of excellence. They could not handle the level of accountability. Because, no, I still want to do what I want to do, as you said. But it's not of course, it's a perspective. It's a help that's in your life. It's a guide to your journey of life. I really kind of wanted you to stop looking at it as maybe as a leader. Look at it as a guide, as a, what is that, as a GPS, as an instructor to lead you, to help you, to lead you to excellence. Why would you want to run away from that? Why would you not want that? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Did you want it to say something? Linda wanted to say something.
Yes.
Yay.
What was the question?
So everything we talked about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if we won't try or what. Why we're not using the rest and nothing wrong?
Question.
I think I'm my own worst enemy.
Yeah. Now that you know that.
I had a conversation with myself today.
Really?
While I was sitting at work, I'm like, I'm just going around in a circle.
Yeah.
Not progressing spiritually.
and not progressing here, you know. And I ask them, like, what in the world is wrong and why haven't I gotten any further? And then I just get stuck right there without an answer.
I'm going to help
maybe, you. Maybe there is an answer.
There is an
answer.
No, there is an answer.
But I beat myself up because I will fall back into past things and live there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just down in the pit, you know, I'm just not wanting to be bothered because I put myself in that state.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just had this conversation today, and I'm tired. I want to move forward, but seems like every time what I want to do, here comes something else in my mind, and then I'm derailed again.
But you know what? I have an answer for you, and I'm just going to give you a partial of the answer. And I don't understand. Well, as I do, this conversation started, but Saturday during the Sweep Your Brain class, there is an answer to all of this question. There is an answer to all of this question. And when you said, well, every time something come up, every time I go through something else come up, it's not the result of what's happening, but it's the process. The proper way to handle the process, the proper way to handle pressure. That's why it's coming one after, because there's a lesson in pressure after pressure after pressure. The lesson is how you handle the pressure. It's not the pressure. Exactly. Meaning you went through survival instead of living. I only want to do enough to breathe to say that I'm still alive. That's what shut down me. I only want to do enough to say everybody else, so you won't have no funeral. But you shut down your whole life. Only thing is, we're not having a funeral. That's the only difference. But why would you want to do that? Where's the mic? Are we still on the radio? We should. Okay.
I feel like, and you told me this before, I view things to be so big, and then when I get to it, I just stop and just give up on it. It's frustrating. I don't want to go any farther because it's going to hurt me and I'm going to lose something. That's a real bad block I have.
It sure is. Yes, sir. I got an answer for you, too. I hope y'all ready. Yes, sir.
Well, no, I don't have a lot of faith, but I do know that the word tells us that we are more than a conqueror. We, it says, how do we see ourselves? Do we see ourselves as a grasshopper? Do we see ourselves as a giant? And I want to be a fighter. But the main question of the night that we're asking, we got this wisdom, why we haven't walked better, why we're not walking better. And that is just a struggle. And I have to come back into our flesh. No, it's just weak. And somehow we got to build our faith up and know that we are giants in the spirit. We are giants that can walk and overcome these things and circumstances in life and not shut down. You know, we have to not survive, but live more abundantly.
That's right. That's right. That's a good one. Yes, ma'am.
I want to say two things. Speaking first about why we do not apply what we learn or what we have grown, it is just that we lack application. I see that myself and other people have turned to professional students.
That's a good one.
You go to any class to change your major. If you're just about to graduate, you know, you go change your major because you really don't want to get out there in life.
That's a good one. Ooh, I wish I could just press like. Come on, y'all press hard for me. Hot, 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 hot. That was a good one. That was a good one.
The second scenario, I was talking with my brother. He was talking about a story when my nephew was very small and there was a bug in the house. And he said, he was telling this thing, he said, step on the bug, son. And he said, my nephew was stepping all around. He's like, step on it, step on it. And my nephew just dancing all around. And he's like, something wrong with the boy. You want to step on the bug. But I was telling him that he didn't want to step on the bug. Down to he was doing it on purpose. He was making pretending like he was going to step on it. But he really was going to try to step on that bug. And we do that. I see it, my eyes do that. In my life, I step around it. And then when that bug, that spider gets away, next thing I know, something we can see has made it and has got babies everywhere. And I get frustrated, so I'm trying to leave it out. I'm, you know, I didn't kill the one spider, but then I was like, you know, it's awful, but I'm trying to leave it out.
Yeah, sure.
And I think about the scripture, when Yeshua was asking the man that the fool will stop and he say, oh, in other words, do you want to get up?
That's
do you
right.
Want that? So the lack of application, we go back to all use the pieces, we want to find a place to apply a piece and get a result. We're not using that as a principle of application. Do you want it? So if we don't want it, we don't get up and then we blame.
That's right. That was a good one. Y'all hit like for me. Like. Come on, hot for me and share. Because this was good. That was a very good answer, too. Go ahead, Johnny.
Well, I have to act like a man because she just seen everything I want. No, but that is so good. And for me to actually, you know, to think, I was just pondering on one of the things that Francis said. You know, that it makes you wonder, is everything around looking sick? Why do I want to come be a part of what you're doing? You know,
that's right.
Why do I want, how can you invite me to a class? This is like me saying, hey, you need to come to this class alone because they're teaching us how to lose weight. I'm on it. It don't match. It's like, what's the name of the class? Both of them, right?
The thing of it is, I was drunk. This is what you are. But then
question? Can all of y'all admit that you have become that?
Wrong.
No? That you have become... No. You have become professional. You have a doctorate degree in... Well, nah, that was funny. Yeah, it sure was. A doctorate degree in being so intelligent that you... It's almost like you're so smart that you outsmart yourself. You outsmart yourself from being in a place of wisdom. You outsmart yourself out of wisdom into stupid. That's why I was trying to find a good word. I couldn't find it. Can we admit that we have become so professional in being a professor using intelligent dummies? Is a good word. I like that. We have become very intelligent dummies. I love that. I'm going to use that. We have become intelligent dummies. Except by Francis here, yeah.
And that's so true because you told me.
Anytime I tell you, I'm taking it.
You told me that I, just by me using my unconscious mind, would move me out of my destiny.
Oh, you going somewhere, girl. You going somewhere.
When you think about that, that's just mind-boggling. That is true about I'm telling you. But I realize that I have so many gifts, but I play so stupid, I'm always on work.
Oh, I'm so much. I'm not mean necessarily. My equilibrium is.
Shame.
It is a shame.
Living beneath my means.
Yeah. We're gonna finish talking about it. Let me tell y'all something. Saturday, I want y'all to come with your bottle of water. No, you got to find a way to be part of this class. Because, see, if you're in church, I'll tell you, there's a word for in the house. If you are a church person, that's what I would tell you. But there is a path, a door, an answer to your question. And this conversation tonight is not by accident. There is an answer if you're willing to listen to the answer and you are willing to implement. Don't come through this door with that professional, with that intelligent dummy mind. Don't come through that door with that intelligent dummy. You got to have to strip that mind and say, I don't know, teach me, show me. Do not take the answer and sit there and take it in the way to my, that's right, that's correct, that's true, and then walk away and not participate in life and participate in what God had told you and how to do it, because God will give you detail how to do it. We just close our ears and our mind. He will tell you exactly what to do. So I don't want you to come in here and not prepare in your mind to listen to the answer to the question. I'm being serious. This is going to be the answer. After all the class, the Sweep Your Soul I've been doing, and this is class number seven?
Yes.
Number seven. Oh, seven. So funny. That's complete. And this is going to be the complete answer to all the questions that you have about you. Why are you still where you are? Why you don't use your wisdom? Why are you an intelligent dummy? Really? I told y'all this. That's my statement now. I took it. I told y'all I'm going to take it. Why are you an intelligent dummy? Why could you be? But there's a word for it. Remember PFI, that's a blemish. If y'all remember, that's a blemish. You remember what it was? What is it? A wart? What is it? A dwarf? What is a dwarf?
Something that's been retarded.
Mm-mm. No, from the lesson.
Oh. I mean, no growth. Yeah.
But that's not the one I'm talking about. No, just think about it. That you, it's a particular blemish that you know the word, but you can't implement it. Broken what? You know the word. What is it? Okay. Did you want to say something? All right. Thank you so much for joining us. It's my fault for bringing it up in the first place. So, I really appreciate all of you for being with us. And I want you to please sign up, register for the class. Shoot your brain this Saturday at 10:30. And you can join us online. I'm going to do a little bit of Periscope. It's not going to be that long. But you have to register for the class. So thank you so much. And we're going to continue this conversation off the air. So thank you. Love you. And if you have any question, inbox me. If you have any question now, you can ask. But if not, you can inbox me.
Registration
is on Facebook. You can go on my page, Hannah Josue, K-H-A-N-N-A-H, and register for the class. And you can get the answer to that question. Thank you so much for joining us. I know it's been a long scope. And thank you for joining us. Have a good night. Everybody, give everybody a hand that joined us. Ooh, thank you. Now, going back to my crush. And they know that's it. Hunchback is not hunchback. Hunchback is when you have when you holding responsibility that does not belong to you. What is it? Oh, we still on the radio? I'm so sorry. Everybody that joined us on the blog radio, we thank you so much for joining us. Please register for the Sweep Your Brain class. And it's this Saturday. Go on my page that you could register. Thank you so much for joining. If you have any questions, don't forget to inbox me. I'll be more than happy to answer your question. Thank you. May Adonai keep you and safeguard you. May Adonai shine his countenance upon you and give you peace. Have a great night.
You've tuned in to the best.